episode 458 of the LeagueCast podcast. I'm your host, Nick the King Cooper. Joining me is Aiden Frost Rockarts.
Hey, what's good?
And Colton Blue Basket Sweat.
Happy pre-Thanksgiving, Nick.
Happy pre-Thanksgiving, everybody. We were recording this the day before American Thanksgiving, because Canadian Thanksgiving has already passed.
The only one that matters? The only one that matters. Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty exciting. On this week's episode, we've got some new patrons. We've got some Samurizing news, including a new character and a new patch. We're not going to be doing any Staries, guffaws, because we've got a lot of content to cover. We've got some competitive league news, more roster talks, as well as some extremely fresh news. I'm talking like within the hour. We've got roundtable from last week and this week, and we're going to close it out with quite a few emails. So let's jump straight into it. Aiden, how was your week?
My week was good. Not a lot of League, but a lot of Heroes of the Storm. Heroes of the Storm main now. That game is like the most fun casual MOBA, though. I think it's like the best casual MOBA to play. If you're not a MOBA player, like you can just play that game. Like,
it definitely is. Fine. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, if I wasn't a League player, dude, I'd only play HOTS like in like as a casual game. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, so it's sick, though.
Yeah, it's fun as like a as I've been playing with you and Kennedy and Trevor, but it's like you don't really have to know what's going on. You just gotta play.
Yeah.
So
like it's like there's not very many times like that someone just like solo carries a game because they're just better than everyone.
Yeah.
It's like, which I guess like would be a downside if like you're really good at the game, I guess. But like it feels just fun, just like casually like just have fun, play shit.
Mm-hmm. Definitely helps to have some MOBA experience.
Oh, for sure, yeah. I mean, like, just, like, I'd say, like, most of us are just better than the, like, average player who plays that game. Like,
yeah, absolutely. Already.
Mechanically, at least.
I would say so.
Yeah. Yeah. That's about it for my week, though. I really didn't do too much else, like, in the world of, like, League of Legends, stuff like that. We'll get to some, like, LeagueCast news after, though.
Pog. Colton?
Yeah, so, I've been playing not too much League, a couple games here and there, and been trying to get back into TFT, playing mostly either like cultists or sharpshooters, but I'm still pretty awful, so that's not been going great. Aside from that, I mean, I guess my D&D campaign with Rick and Laura and Kevin is wrapping up because life events and other things are, you know, putting an end to it. So we're coming to a pretty fun starting point. We had probably our second or third to last session on Monday. And it sure is fun controlling all of the enemies as well as the like six NPCs that they are currently busting out of a castle with.
It's kind of cool that you just get to play your own game.
It's something. So I am controlling Aiden and Kennedy's former characters and like four other NPCs as the party is attempting to make this big old jailbreak and fighting many guards in various places. So it's been fun, but it's a lot to keep track of. I'm excited for that. But that's pretty well everything I've been up to, so I'll hand it over to you, Nick. What are you thankful for this year? AD carry buffs. Just kidding. Those don't happen.
No, I'm done with that role. Long story short, I've played enough AD carry this week to know that it's not a fun role. And I mean, we could talk about it if you want, but like, nah, fuck that role. Played a little bit of League, not too much. I started Breath of the Wild. It's been really fun so far. There are a couple things that I'm not a huge fan of at the moment. Part of me really enjoys how little direction they give you, and part of me fucking hates it. I pick up side quests and I have no fucking clue how to even approach that at all. And that's just quite intimidating. I gotta find this fucking rare gourmet meat for this guy, but he doesn't say anything. So, pretty fun so far. I'm not feeling too bad about looking stuff up when I need to. Like, I'm not finna spend 100 hours trying to find side quest items, but it's been so far good so far. I'm still pretty early onto it. I'm still trying to find the memories. Part of me enjoys that and part of me doesn't. I feel like it would be really cool to have some perspective of like where these are in a general area, but maybe that's not a good idea. So that's kind of where I'm at. Otherwise, not too much is going on. So let's get into the show. We've got, what, 5 new patrons? We've got Ryan. Joshua has increased to become a Tumo, which is
I swapped that out. I usually don't like show increases, but Joshua is like one of the OG patrons.
Yeah,
like, he's actually at like our like one of our meetups. And he like slaps mass with Peach when we played like a Smash little mini tournament.
Hell yeah, dude. That was fun. That was fun. Didn't you and I take the tourney?
Yeah, we played doubles, dude. Yeah. I won.
Yeah, God, I'm so bad at Smash. I got eliminated so quickly in the first round. I felt bad. I forget who my partner was.
I thought it was Chris. It might not have been Chris, though.
I think it was Tartar.
Might have been Tartar, yeah.
But, yeah, no, I was just like, hey, I'm sorry, but I am going to let you down.
That was fun. Booze Clues, Ian, and Leviathan. So thank you for your support. Do you have any League Cast news?
Yeah, we have some League Cast news. The main thing is that we're hosting a tournament. Oh, well, I'm like still putting it together. It's not fully finalized, but it's going to be an ARAM tournament, and it's going to be a format that I've been trying to rock for a long time. I eventually do want to do it for Summer's Rift, but I think it's easier to like experiment with ARAM. So it's going to be on December 12th. I'm going to have details posted, a sign-up sheet posted all on Friday on our Discord. I'm also going to have it posted in the Lola Discord. I'm just finalizing some stuff with them. It's going to be an ARAM tournament where you can either sign up solo or you can sign up with a team. Solos will be drafted into a team. You can also like have a thing like, hey, if you have like just one friend that you want to play with, you guys can sign up together, and then we'll throw you in with like another three people. But anyways, the whole point of the whole format of the tournament is that it's ARAM, but the randomness comes from the fact that we're going to draft a randomized list of like 20 to 25 characters, and then both teams pick and ban between those characters, between that like That's one pool.
Such a sick format. I'm very excited.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be really, really cool. I eventually do want to do it at Summer's Rift because I think it's going to be really interesting when, like, maybe not the best example now because AD carries are bad, but let's just say last year, like, oh, there's only one AD carry in the random, like, selection of characters. Do we ban it or do we, like, try to get first pick on it or, like, yada, yada, yada? It's like there's lots of cool strategy that comes out of that I think will be fun. So I think it'll be fun for ARAM, and I hope that everyone enjoys it. So that will be December 12th. The sign-up sheet and all information about it will go up on our Discord on Friday. This is Friday the 27th.
27th, yeah. Poggers. Awesome. I guess let's just jump straight into the news. We have a new character coming out, and her name is Rell, the Iron Maiden.
Hell.
Should we talk about her abilities now? Yeah, sure. Why not? Let's do it. All right, as soon as the page loads. Sweet. So her passive is Break the Mold. She attacks very slowly, but temporarily steals a portion of her target's armor and magic resist to deal bonus damage based on the amount stolen. Additionally, she can siphon resistances from multiple different foes to grow extremely tanky. So that's pretty sick. Her Q is Shattering Strike. She stabs forward with her lance, breaking any shields and damaging all enemies hit. Damage decreases after the first target. If she has an ally bound with her E, she and that ally recover health for each champion hit by this ability. So her E is, we're going to get into it, but it functions very similarly to, well, not very similarly, but in a similar fashion to Taric's E, mm-hmm. or Taric's W, sorry.
Yeah.
Her W, one is Ferromancy, Crash Down. She can only cast this while mounted. She leaps into the sky and transforms her mount into heavy armor, gaining a huge shield that lasts until destroyed or remounting. Upon landing, she knocks up all enemies around her. She can cast her E and her ultimate during the transformation. She has increased durability, lower movement speed, and a movement speed cap while in armored form. After the transformation, this ability changes to Ferromancy Mount Up, which is the second part of her W. Which she can only cast while she's in armored form. She rushes forward and transforms her armor into a mount, gaining a burst of movement speed. During her next attack, she charges her target to deal bonus damage and flip them over her shoulder. She has increased movement speed while mounted. After the transformation, this ability changes to Crash Down, which is the one we just mentioned. Her E is Attract and Repel. She magnetically binds a piece of her armor to a target allied champion, granting them bonus armor and magic resist while nearby. She can recast the spell to break the bind and stun all enemies around and between her and her bound ally. So very similar to old Karma W, like where you had to be like between them. Her ultimate is Magnet Storm. She erupts in magnetic fury, yanking nearby enemies toward her. She then creates a gravitational field around her, pulling nearby enemies in for a few seconds. And this is the key thing. The field doesn't interrupt her enemy's other actions. So to me, that makes it seem like it's nothing but move over here. It's a proper displacement, right?
Yeah, so the way I saw it is that it kind of pulls them around, meaning they probably can't walk out of it, but they can definitely use any abilities, attack. They probably just can't walk out of it, I would assume. Maybe they can if like they're fast enough, but I would assume they probably can't.
Yeah, I'm thinking they definitely can't walk out of it. And
Not walk out of it, yes.
The attack part, I'm not sure about, just because it's going to be like constantly pulling you, so I don't know if you'll have time to issue like a full attack command. I'd be interested to see how that works out.
Yeah, the way the video like makes it look, it looks like the character is just sliding across the ground, but it's not actually like the character is not being displaced. Mm-hmm. Almost, it's just moving.
Okay, yeah, that's interesting. I want to see how that ends up. Mm-hmm. One thing that I'm really happy that they did is for her armored form, that not only is she slowed, but she just has a cap movement.
Yeah,
speed.
The cap is huge, I think.
Yeah, because like that's something that I would love to see them go back and implement on a bunch of characters. Like, okay, as fun as like Phase Rush, Super Fast Skarner is, you probably shouldn't be able to run super fast while pulling an enemy. Like,
yeah,
there should be things in the game where it's like, hey, like, you're supposed to be slow during this, and you can't just phase rush to not have to deal with that penalty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a good example.
It's kind of like the opposite of like ability creep and power creep.
Yeah.
That they now realize that these things shouldn't be this way.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Cool. So she looks to be pretty sick. Looks to be primarily, at least currently, a pretty tanky anti-tank support. So that's going to be pretty cool. You pick her into Sejuani and then you win the game. So it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, no, I think she's really cool. I'm glad that her like auto attacks are like weak, but they like do a lot. I think that's a cool idea. I think
it'll really be cool.
There's no way she goes to any other role, I think, because of that. Like,
probably not. I feel like if there's any other role, it's probably like a cheesy top lane role. Maybe into like a hyper tank up there if they're still popular, but that's probably it.
I think there is some vague potential for jungle, but pretty unlikely.
Mm. I think with Captain Attack Speed, it's almost impossible.
I just feel like jungle is the role that like every character has like a fucking chance of being played in.
That's fair.
that
is a good point.
And it's so easy to clear the jungle that like, if her numbers are in a place where she can just get like a good gank off early on, right? Anyone can jungle.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. So that takes us to the patch 10.24, which is live. You guys ready to knock this huge patch out? So we've already had some. Yeah, we've already had some mid patch updates. Dr. Minnow's passive works. Elise's Q damage works, and Gragas's barrel no longer deals full damage even when it's not charged. So champions proper, Amumu, boys, they've gutted him, the highest win rate champion in the game, and they fucking gutted him. His W now deals reduced damage over time, down 3 points at max rank. And then the damage ratio per 100 AP is also nerfed. However, current Amumu is being built nearly full tank, so I don't think that affects it tremendously. Very little being done here for Amumu.
So just to add on to it, he is also being hotfixed like right now as well. They're lowering his mana per level by 20, and they're reducing his E-base damage by like 20 late game, and they're reducing his R stun duration. They're making it scale rather than be too flat.
Okay.
They're making it scale from 1.5 to 2.
I think the only thing that probably needs to go through is the ulti one. The other ones are nice to have. It's kind of crazy that like new items sort of just brought him to light. Like yeah, the stun change is obviously huge, but
yeah, I do think that he's a character that like was under like was not just like a hidden OP for like a while though. Like there's those posts from like those Amumu mains that have been like, yeah, we've been able to solo Baron at 20 from like a bunch of patches, like but I do think like all the stuff like did make him stronger, but I think he was probably already like a 55% win rate character if played like enough.
Yeah, sweet.
But yeah, it's good.
Go ahead.
Cool. Next? We have Hecarim. Passive bonus movement speed to bonus damage conversion is decreased. His E bonus movement speed is decreased later and bug fixed. So just like a little bit less damage from like his speed and E.
Seems very strong still, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're the little bits taking away more and more as they try and put him into a good spot.
Yeah.
Kalista, her Q rend transfer, so where you can Q through something and like move all the spears, has been bug fixed so that it actually works properly. And there's also, I guess, a bug fix with her E so that the damage calculates properly. So really a nothing. It's just fixing things that got messed up.
Yeah, they say reverting accidental nerfs. So that's pretty fun. Kale, passive bonus attack speed has been reduced. So halved from 2% to 1% per 100 AP. Character still pretty good.
Yeah. Samira, Nick, your favorite character in the game.
Hey.
Passive melee blade damage ratio decreased. Dash range against immobilized targets decreased.
I feel like... So I don't think these changes are too... egregious. Like, I think she's still going to be pretty strong compared to other crit carries.
Did she get longer dash range when they were immobilized? Is that what like I'm reading?
That's the passive knockup part where you can
You dash and then knock them up. Yeah,
yeah, you dash then knock them up. So they're saying you got to be closer, which is good. I like that. Yeah. Yes,
I personally think you should just be in auto range. To be honest, like I would be
fine with that at all. Totally.
She should definitely be in auto range.
It's surprising to me that. From my perspective, she got nerfed harder than Amumu did, despite having a 5% lower win rate.
Definitely after like the hot fixes, like I think it's pretty even. But
that's
fair. Without the hot fixes,
I keep forgetting about Amumu hot fixes.
Because he didn't just fucking take 25% off his ult. But yeah,
sick.
Yeah,
characters should still be good though.
Yep,
definitely. Tryndamere, his bonus attack damage from his Q has been increased. And the bonus AD per percentage of missing health has also been increased. So it looks like he can get... So it's just plus 5 flat AD from his Q, and then the ratio has gone up. So, I mean, he just gets more flat damage because crit is weaker.
It is funny, though. Like, there's a bunch of, like, high, like, Elo Tryndamere mains for, like, a little bit that were playing him, like, tank kind of.
Yeah, aren't they just going Sunfire Cape?
Yeah, which so hopefully they address that.
Yeah, it's weird how everyone can just go Sunfire and probably win.
I mean, the biggest thing is like we're obviously seeing issues with crit based characters, and the fact that they're having to individually buff crit based characters instead of buffing crit is kind of like telling that there's a systematic problem. But what do I know?
Yeah.
Ooh, are you guys ready for this wall of text? Unironically, Varus. Q, Blight Detonation cooldown reduction removed. So that was the cooldown that was reduced per W stack when he used his Q. The damage from W stacks detonated with Q are now increased by the amount of time Varus charges his Q for, up to 50%. His Q now shows the crit text when fully charged. The W bonus damage has been reduced. Detonating a W stack on an enemy champion and epic monster now reduces all basic cooldowns by 12% of the max cooldown per stack, so up to 36%. The ultimate now snaps Varus to face the direction, the target direction on start of cast, and the missile speed is reduced. Okay.
Yeah, so what do you think about these changes? I think the alt change is a bigger nerf than people think.
I mean, I think so too, but I feel like it's still going to be very powerful as soon as, I mean, because you could flash ulti, like at least in solo queue.
Yeah, for sure. I just think it's one of those things where, like, it was pretty... Varus ulti was probably one of the harder ults in the game to hit, I would say. It's like,
yeah.
Even though it was pretty quick, it was just like kind of like very narrow. Also, like, he has a pretty long animation. Mm-hmm. I guess the animation's like quicker. So, like, I know it just makes everything, all this makes it harder for him to hit, I think. But, like, the thing that's weird to me is I don't think the Q change is that. I'm not sure if it's supposed to be a buff. I would assume it's a buff. I don't know. They're just trying to make him unique from what I just read there. But so you have to apply blight stacks, right? By like auto. And then you have to charge up your Q, and your damage scales based on how much you charge up your Q. I feel like this is only damage that will go through if you're hitting a fadeaway Q after a fight, right?
So to me, it seems like they really want you to focus on proc or auto attack three times, use an ability to reset your cooldowns, auto attack three times, use an ability, like that sort of thing, where you get into sort of like a flow of like proccing blight and... actually like casting abilities.
Yeah.
So you would like, I don't know, auto three times Q, auto three times dub or E, and yeah. Then like swap back and forth.
Yeah, I mean that was super boring, right? You're just using Q literally just to proc blight, right? Like not charging it.
And they I think that's what they're doing now.
Oh really? You have to, it like scales based on how much you charge your Q though.
Yeah. But I think the biggest thing is like I think bigger than that, I guess. Is the cooldown reduction on basic abilities per blight stack procced. So yeah. Once you start getting into that flow, if you can hit a really tanky person, you're going to shred like a shit ton of people.
Yeah. I guess they're not reducing the damage. They're just making it increase like when you like hit stuff. It just feels like that's so weird. Like I really don't know a world in which you hit three blight stacks and then hit a fully charged Q.
Yeah. I mean,
so you're in auto range, right?
Yeah.
It's either a fadeaway or, I mean, so I think the point of this is to make the ultimate a little bit harder to hit, but then if you do hit it because it applies three blight stacks, you can hit it, land a charged Q for a bunch of damage, and then you're gonna be getting half of your Q cooldown back.
That's fair.
36%.
Yeah.
But then if you like auto E or something, you know, it's now back up. And so the idea of like ult charge Q, you know, auto E, auto Q again is much more possible. I think as they're going in to try and make these changes, it's pretty clear that he doesn't really have a good identity because, like, he's supposed to be an AD carry, and then there's like, okay, well, cool. He applies these stacks on his W, which is why like attack speed on hit builds have been historically one of his options. But then you have this long charge up Q that does a billion damage if you charge it up and if you land it. But like, it's the same reason why, you know, Caitlyn stops Qing late in the game is because it's just, it does less damage. And it's like stopping to charge up your Q, unless you're going lethality, feels really shitty.
Mm-hmm. I guess it's fine with it having multi-purpose throughout the game though, right? Like early game, like you do use the like the fully charged keys, or even like in like while you're kind of like having like this neutral type of stance versus in teamfights, and then like later in the game you use it as just a way to proc blight. I feel like that's, I guess, not awful. It just feels weird, I guess, to me.
Yeah, it feels weird, and it makes him feel kind of like a lack of identity.
Yeah,
where I think you could go like all in one way or the other of like, okay, he's an on-hit character, or he's just like a cast spells, and maybe his W doesn't do stacks so much anymore. But like maybe it's if you hit an ability on a champion and then you auto attack them, you get some of your cooldowns back.
Well, I think this gives him more of an identity. I guess there. I feel like he's flowing between a caster AD carry and an on hit AD carry, like. Primarily auto attack based.
Yeah,
I mean, and like there's not a lot of other characters who function that way currently, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean it's definitely, I think, a step in the right direction, but he still, I think, is gonna be in a kind of weird spot. But I'm definitely
excited
to try that.
With how fast the game is, like this particular play style does not seem like it's gonna keep up very well. So,
yeah,
cool.
It'll be interesting.
Next we have Yasuo.
You might as well just include Yone too, my man.
And Yone! The passive crit doubling now takes place after Rageblade's on-hit calculations.
Disgusting.
This is just because every single Yasuo and Yone player, like, we're just going Rageblade because, guess what? Even though, so they were double dipping on the crit because you'd get doubled crit, meaning, like, the damage you get from Rageblade instead of being 40 per, like, crit item would be 80 per crit item.
Mm-hmm. Disgusting.
Yeah, so, like, over you could overcap cap crit and it wouldn't be a bad build on those characters. Like,
yeah.
Kind of silly.
Kind of silly indeed. And then they have some items. Blade of the Rune King's cost is going up by 100 and the attack speed is going down by 5%. I'll just run through these real quick. Cosmic Drive has 5 more AP. Demonic Embrace has a little bit less burn damage. Eclipse now has an 8-second cooldown for melee, 16-second cooldown for ranged. Ember Knife now offers 10% spell vamp or omni vamp, sorry, including AoE damage. Okay, they did fix this earlier. Hailblade also has the same thing. When these patch notes first came out, it said excluding AoE damage, and I was wondering if this was like the single target one. But that is actually massive for AoE junglers. Kane is going to be disgusting on this patch, even more so.
As if he wasn't already.
Yeah. Essence Reaver has 10 more attack damage. Kraken Slayer has 5 more attack damage. The true damage, what? Wait, I'm sorry. The Worm Fallen Sacrifice attack damage? What does that mean? Goes up by 5. It goes from 80 to 85, so that's pretty sick. The damage ratio is up from 30 to 45%, and it now properly triggers at all... Wait. Oh, and there's a bug fix with it. Liandry's has a... the Torment damage ratio is down by 1%. Lich Bane has 10% less AP scaling. Ludens has less movement speed and less AP damage ratio on the Echo. Bug fix with the Moonstone Renewer and an increase in healing. Wow, just a huge increase in healing. Oh, a huge increase in the base healing, reduction in the percentage increase each second you spend in combat. Gnash's Tooth has less AP scaling. Night Harvester has less base damage on the Soul Rend passive. Same thing for the Hextech Eradicate Belt, and the movement speed is down from 75% to 50%. Phantom Dancer, the cost is reduced, and the Spectral Waltz duration is increased by 1 second. Prowler's Claw is up by 5 attack damage, and the active is up by 5. Riftmaker's bonus damage is down by 1%, and the max is 10% now rather than 15%. And Serpent Fang now has 20 extra physical damage when it is destroying shields. Whew. Somebody want to talk about the Tear of the Goddess?
Well, just like, it seems like there were generally buffs to a lot of the AD carry items and nerfs to a lot of the AP items. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised we're not seeing more nerfs on tank items, but... I mean, step in the right direction for trying to put crit characters back in the game, I guess.
Well, I mean,
yeah.
It's a decent good start, but they changed three crit items.
No, yeah, it's definitely not enough, but it's like most of the AP legendaries.
Every single one except for Everfrost.
Yeah, like all nerfed. Of those mythics got nerfed a bit. And like ratios have come down with a lot of things. Like they're converging on a point of balance. They are not by any means there, but it is, you know, it's a better place than it was last patch, which is all you can hope for.
Yeah, I mean, the big thing with crit, in my opinion, is that they nerfed crit items, they nerfed crit the mechanic, and they nerfed specific characters who interacted with crit. So it's just like doomed to fail from the beginning, I guess.
Yeah. I also think like it's something where like we should be not super critical until the season starts.
It is still
if they don't have shit fixed, dude, by like season 11 start, then you go, hey, come on, all right, what the fuck are you doing? But right now, I think they're like just slowly moving in that direction. They're doing it a pretty good job.
Yeah, they are.
Like for example, like we're looking at the Tier of the Goddess line. They're increasing the mana on all those items. I think they should increase mana on other items in the game as well, because like mana is really, really hard as a resource to get. Mm-hmm. But it is nice seeing that they are increasing mana here, because mana is like a fucking scarce resource in the new item set.
The cool thing
the
about
actual mana hasn't changed; it just stacks faster now.
Yeah.
Well, no. The finished items have more mana.
Yeah. Okay. All of them have like a little bit more.
All of them have more at the end, but the sorry, yeah. So the tier stacks significantly faster, and looks like finished items have 100 more mana.
Yeah.
Looks like it. 110. Yeah.
110 for the final final.
Oh, no, cool. Just 10 for the final finals.
Wait, what the? Okay, so.
Either way, like, I actually. Okay. Yeah. So it's one of those things, Nick. I feel like when you have Saris or Muramana finished, though, you don't have mana problems. I think until then, you have fucking crazy mana problems. So I think them giving 100 to, like, the uncompleted finished ones is, like, good.
I think we're going to fall into a meta where tier is just core on every single character in the game.
It feels very like, core.
That builds mana. It's crazy, especially with how quickly you're going to be able to stack this. You need to cast, what, 40 times?
On characters, yeah. Well, I mean, stacks based is different based on champions, minions, and stuff. So
And it gives 3 mana base, I think, when you just hit a creep.
Yeah.
So you have to get creeps 40 times with abilities to fully stack it. That's crazy.
Yeah, wow. That's not very much at all.
And especially you can start it at level 1, so it's like there's a very realistic world of like backing for the first time with a mana immune, or like maybe by the second time it's like. Once you can afford your mana immune, it's probably going to be nearly fully stacked.
I was going to say, like, I actually think, like, starting tier is now a bait. Because there's no, like, so a main reason why you'd stack, like, let's just say last season. Main reason why you'd, like, buy tier as early as possible is because it takes forever to stack, right? Like, Ezreal, fucking Ezreal would buy it first item because you would want it, like, pre-20. And that's the only way you'd get it fully stacked pre-20. Now, I think buying it level 1 is bad because there's zero way that you don't have it, like, fully stacked by the time you have your item. Because your item's going to be, like, 15 minutes into the game, you're gonna have this thing stacked at like before 10, I would say.
If that's you buy a it, really like, first. Yeah. Good point. Like, you're definitely not gonna have the gold by the time tier is fully stacked, and then you just have extra mana, and that doesn't matter unless you have zero mana.
And it's also what? Is it 350 or is it 450 to start? Do you guys know?
Costs 400 to
400.
I don't know.
So just start any other item and then at some point back with 400 gold and then start stacking it. Like that seems way better like for your laning. Like I just don't think there's a way that like you're going to have enough gold to like have it fully stacked or have enough gold to buy the item when it's fully stacked. Like if you start it.
Yeah, you can definitely pick it up on like your first recall. It's just like a bonus component or even like honestly on AP characters. Like, you could get it after your completion of a mythic, or even if you're, like, 2 or 3 items into your build, like, you could still, at, like, 25 minutes, pick up a tier, and probably at, like, 32 minutes have it stacked.
Yeah, I think that's super reasonable. Like, I think it's a bait, though, starting now. Unless you, like, fucking need it. Like, what character would need it? I don't even think there's a character that would need it, though, right?
No.
It gives 0 stats.
Yeah, it's literally
just mana. I don't know. I mean, Gangplank?
Yeah,
I guess he's like passive. He's self-sufficient enough. He just needs mana to shoot.
Yeah, rise, mana probably. To shoot and eat.
Something like that. Yeah, that's super. Oh, that's super sick though.
That's cool.
That's a good point. Mid lane minion changes. Cannon minions in the mid lane now give 10 less gold, and cannon minions in the mid lane now gain 30% increased attack speed against turrets.
I hate this a lot. I hate this change a lot.
What? Why do you hate this change a lot?
Because it changed like changes how fundamentally lanes are played. Like obviously not for like 99% of like the game, like 99% of ELOs. But like I think it's crazy that you could be a top lane professional player and then want to switch to mid lane and have the game function differently because cannon minions give less gold and hit towers harder. Like why is that a thing?
Good point. That's a good point.
Yeah, I just think that like fundamentally shit like that should just work the same. I guess. Like, it was, like, the same with, you know what, for a while where they had armor on only bottom?
Bot lane. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't think shit like that should exist in the game. I feel like that's super fundamentally wrong of how the game should be played. Like,
I think it was only in the top lane.
It was one of the two. It was to, like, prevent lane swaps, right?
Yeah.
I just think that's so weird. Like, obviously the issue is that, like, there's tons of roamers and they want people to, like, bit punished if they do roam and stuff like that. But, like, this ain't it. Like, this is such a fucking weird way of doing it, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, and just the idea that the minion is worth a different amount of gold, I think, is the much worse part. Like, the fact that they do bonus damage to towers, like, I don't like, but it's just as easy to make, like, the mid lane towers have, like, 5 less armor, and you have the same effect, and I don't think that's terrible. Again, I would prefer that the towers all have the same stats.
Yeah.
But like 10 less gold to me is the big one where you're just like, there's going to be a time where somebody like does a lane swap and they're to get a better matchup, and they like are like, okay, cool, I know if I get all these minions, I get my item. Oh, well, I'm 10 gold short. I guess I have to wait another 5 seconds.
It's just so weird. Like, don't bounce a roll off shit like that. Like,
yeah. Like,
the only roll you can bounce shit off that is jungle, I think. Because it's an equal thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, dude, could you imagine top being OP so they just fucking, like, just... it's just so dumb. Like, making minions, like, deal less, making minions worth less.
So I feel like I like their reasoning. Like, they want to punish mid lane because they get a wave faster than everyone else, but also because it is extremely impactful to have a roaming mid laner.
Yeah.
But I am agreeing with you that I don't know if this is the cleanest way to do it.
Why not make the minions drop to lane later mid?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Like, make them slower, like on just make mid minions slower. Like, I know that's like it's the same thing. Well, Aiden, you just said that like they don't want the things to be different. This is to like neutralize the fact that like mid minions get there, what, 10 seconds faster than other lanes?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like there's other ways to do this that don't need to like change stats of stuff to like benefit. It's like the whole fucking Kalista does 10% less damage. Like, what a fucking, who decided that? Yeah. Like, it's so weird.
Make mid lane longer.
Yeah, just make mid lane longer, dude.
Expand mid lane without expanding the other lanes.
The minions for mid lane have to come out of the back of the Nexus and walk around it.
Yeah, exactly.
But like, honestly, that wouldn't even be that bad.
It wouldn't be that bad.
Like, right, like that just like tacks on like maybe 3 or 4 seconds to their time. And like, it doesn't have any change to like a long-term push, right? Because like, if you make them slower, period, it's like, okay, well then late game, you're going to get to the point where it's like, watching your mid lane minions try and get from one inhib to the next is going to be grueling.
It's fucking about, stupid, but I love it.
Mid minions, Nick, they do a circle around their inhibitor but before they go to lane.
Yeah, they do a lap. They do a lap around the inhib first. So good.
whatever. That just annoys me.
Yeah.
Behavioral systems update. Stop being toxic. I don't know. They've done some changes to early surrender, LP consolation, and
I think these two are worth reading, these two bullet points.
Just okay. Yeah, go ahead. If there is an AFK player detected on your team after the 10-minute mark, a surrender vote can occur. For now, this change will only apply to Summoner's Rift. Votes must be unanimous. If it isn't unanimous at the 15-minute mark, the team can vote again, now only needing a majority vote. If a player on your team leaves during a ranked match or is detected as AFK, your LP loss may be reduced. Premades with a disconnect or AFK, provisional players, or players in promotion series will not get loss reduction. Okay, so if it's just a little bit more kindness to dealing with AFK people on your team. A little bit more wiggle room.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. I really like these changes. Hopefully the LP loss is impactful and not, you know, like -1 or whatever, +1, something like that.
And even if it's a little, it just like neutralizes stuff, I think it's fine.
I'd say -5 is fine. The only thing I'm worried about is this giving people the idea that AFKing is okay, right? Because there are some people who read this and say, oh, well, now me AFKing doesn't even like detriment my team as much because they lose less LP, so it's fine for me to AFK more.
Like, I mean, that's a weird, I don't know, I feel like that's a weird way to think about it, though. They still get full penalty, and people are very selfish, except for apparently that one fucking person we played against, Aiden.
That's so crazy, yeah.
No, like I don't think it's like a major issue, but I think that there are some people out there who would use this as a justification of like, it's okay for me to AFK in games, because if I do that, like, yeah, you're going to lose, but you're only going to lose 10 instead of 13. Like,
there are people who think like that, yeah.
Like, again, I don't think that that's the majority, but like, again, I think any change that Riot ever makes in an attempt to stop players from being toxic, there's going to be somebody on the other end of it saying, I can abuse this to be more toxic.
Fair enough.
I have some changes like down below. We're going to skip over the VFX stuff. Fucking AOE changes, Nick. I didn't fucking see this. This makes me want to die. I hate Riot so much. Minion AOE damage. Minions take 75% damage from AOE attacks and abilities. What the fuck is wrong with Riot?
I don't know. Maybe it's to like gut wave clear champions if you don't have any. I don't know.
It makes me. It actually makes my fucking blood boil that they balance ARMs differently, man. Like, oh, that. Oh, I don't even want to go on. It's so annoying. It's actually.
I mean, I think
so.
At this point, they should just like include ranked. If they're gonna put this much effort into ARAM, like, just put a ranked mode in.
Yeah, if you're taking it seriously, that you need to fucking balance everything. You need to make ranged characters do less. They take do less damage over a certain range. Now AoE abilities do less. Like, fuck off. Holy shit.
Yeah.
That's so annoying.
Anytime we play, I feel like we always complain about specific characters balancing. Akali is probably the most
dumb.
Egregious.
It's because, like, fucking bad players play ARAM, and they need to balance it around those bad players. Like, bad players can't play Akali, so they need Akali to do 15% extra damage and take 15% reduced. Mm-hmm. They need fucking... bad players can play tank characters, so they need tanks to do less damage.
But
like,
also take more.
So silly. Yeah. Ugh. Oh, well.
Sick. We have a bunch of bug fixes, including a lot to the League client itself, as well as some upcoming skins and chromas. Cosmic Flight Anivia, Cosmic Charger Hecarim, Cosmic Invoker Alawi, Cosmic Destiny Nami, Cosmic Huntress Nidalee, Cosmic Sting Skarner, Cosmic Hunter Varus, Cosmic Devourer Vladimir, and Dark Cosmic Lissandra, as well as Star Guardian Soraka Prestige Edition. And then there are chromas for all of those skins, except for the Soraka one.
The chromas look really, really good.
They do look really good. That Alawi skin looks crazy good.
Yeah. I also like the Skarner splash art because he's just floating in space for some reason.
Wait. Oh, that's pretty sick, yeah.
Like, everyone else is, like, just standing it, and he's just floating, dude.
Huh. Cool. So that is it for patch 10.24. Kind of a light patch. Hopefully we get some more in the next patch. So cool. Let's get into... That takes us to competitive league. Woo!
Yeah.
So more roster talk in the off season. That's going to be pretty exciting. CLG picked up Wild Turtle. So their roster looks pretty exciting compared to where they were last year. Pretty excited about that. Upset is going to G2. Is that correct? No.
Yeah. Well, it's not confirmed, but it's like almost certainly like confirmed. It's not like hard confirmed.
Wait, what role does Upset play?
AD carry.
He's going to Fnatic then. Yeah?
No. Wait.
Cause
yeah, fuck.
Okay,
yeah,
okay. I was gonna say,
no, you're right.
G2 decided they didn't want Reckless.
They're taking two AD carries, actually.
I was gonna say,
couldn't Org just buy five mids and hold them?
Why not?
I guess they could, right?
Sure. Fucking the old, fantasy LCS strat.
Yeah.
Yeah,
just only draft mid so your opponents can't.
Yeah. I was looking at that and I thought, like, it'd be really wild of G2 to pick up Upset after signing Reckless.
Yeah.
LS is being signed by T1 as a content creator. His sort of status video, I suppose, came out where he talked about everything. But it's cool that he's going to continue on as a content creator, and cool that it's going to happen under the T1 brand. Because he made it seem like they have been working alongside him for a very long time, and it was his dream to work for SKT T1. So, pretty cool. Somehow, some way, Cody Sun is still a free agent, which is absolutely insane. I've been preaching Cody Sun for the past like week or two. It is crazy that no team has picked him up yet.
Maybe not after this next little bit of news, though.
That's true. Although we have a hot take from one Swift Ranger in our competitive talk that we'll talk about.
Yeah.
Doublelift has officially retired, so he is no longer going to play League competitively. I imagine he probably still is tied to League in some way. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he were a like positional coach on TSM or something. I bet he has equity. So. But, I mean, Cody Sun to TSM would make perfect sense, although we've got some talks that Lost is going to be picked up, and then Sneaky's been thrown out, although I don't think Sneaky would be as good as Cody. Cody's just, like, the best available, right? So.
Almost certainly, yeah.
But cool, I think that's all we have so far. Broken Blade went to Schalke, if that's newsworthy.
Yeah, we talked about that rumor like last week. Like, yeah, all those officially are, like, still the same.
Yeah, officially confirmed. So, yeah. Cool.
I think like most of these are pretty straightforward. I think it's like weird that CLG's like keeping Smoothie, but
I think so too.
Did you guys see like the Reggie trolling people on Twitter thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of just like, yeah, anytime someone like fucking announces they're not on a team anymore, he's like, I wonder where he'll go.
Well, his tweet that included like Lost by name, Sword Art by name, and Effort by
name.
Mm-hmm.
It was Life Effort, yeah.
Oh, it was Life. It was Life, yeah. You're right. And it was just fucking funny.
Yeah.
Sweet. That takes us to the roundtable.
Hell yeah. So last week's roundtable question was, what roster move would you like to see in the offseason? From our Twitter, we got a couple of replies. One from Tyler. He said, perks to C9. Been a C9 fan since the beginning and want to see that C9 dominance again. But also, if Sneaky joins any team, I'd be an instant fan of that team as well. And then one from Artemis, and he said, Finn/Brox CLG. I'm a big CLG fan, so I hope these pickups will help them out. My biggest hope is that Finn can become a main carry and Brox again help unleash him.
Please.
I think it'd be really cool. Yeah. I think CLG, like, honestly, is, like, good. I think the roster is really good.
I think they'll place, like, 5th, 6th.
Like, yeah, I think so as well. I think there's, like, a bunch of those, like, mid-tier teams that like, have strong rosters. Mm-hmm. Like, I do think TSM will be, like, a 6th, 7th place team, but I don't think that it would be surprising if they got, like, top 3. You know what I mean?
I mentioned this in the competitive league chat channel. I feel like TSM is going to be the ultimate feast or famine team. I think when they win, they're going to look like the best team in NA, and I think when they lose, they're going to look like the worst team, and they're going to... I mean, it's TSM, so I would wager that they finish, like, very high. But I think that the team is definitely going to be hit or miss.
Yeah. From our Facebook, Michael said, if Sword Art does come to TSM, that's an insane pickup. Not sure about the Huni pickup, as I'm not sure what side they will play to primarily. Not to mention right now, tanks seem very strong, which is not Huni's strong suit. Ashley said, I'm pretty keen to see 100 Thieves closer in Demonte play around someday. Seems like maybe someday we'll finally have a team where he can pop off and carry consistently. I think that's really cool. I think 100 Thieves is like super, super good this way. I think Golden Guardians is good. Now they literally replaced their weakest link with someday. So by all switching to 100 Thieves.
Yeah, it's like someday's so goddamn good.
Mm-hmm. He's still really good.
Yeah.
Randy said the Shy and Rookie, mainly just the Shy. I love him. yeah. Hopefully they like, I mean, let's be real. The Shy didn't play great last split, so we'll see. Elliot said, well, there are rumors about Sneaky going to Dig. He even joked about it on stream, but since Reckless is leaving Fnatic, obviously Sneaky is going to EU. Everyone welcome Fnatic Sneaky. In all seriousness, though, I just want Sneaky back in pro play. I think a lot of people do. It's like, I think it's pretty common. People like Sneaky. From our Discord, Foxel said double lift to free agent. Oh, big prediction. Ooh. This was a couple days ago he said that.
Dang.
So that's not really free agents.
I guess technically he is the most free.
Yeah. Orden said the G2 Fnatic roster is most interesting personally, only because how rumored it was that Reckless demanded Niski to play Fnatic, then Reckless jumping shipped only days later to go to G2. Now with Reckless being with Caps again, do we consider to see a G2 dynasty, or with the loss of the franchise player perks, does G2 lose their identity? Find out next time on Dragon Ball Z. I think there's no way they're not the best team in EU.
It's like, so hard. They replaced their championship roster with a better roster.
Yeah.
It's just so hard.
Like, I think perks is really, really good, but Guy wasn't good at AD carry comparatively, especially in a region where AD carries are good. Like, Upset's insane, Reckless is insane. Like, they have a lot of good AD carries in EU, and fucking Perks thing, wasn't like, one of them.
Yeah, Perks is a fantastic player. He was good on a few AD carries, but not to the extent that the best, like, Western AD carry probably ever is.
Yeah, for sure. Cool. Mr. Lover said, yo, I hate to say this shit because it sounds like I'm dirty bandwagoner, but G2 always has always been my favorite EU team, and C9 is always my favorite NA team. So now that C9 is just old G2, I want to see them dominate their leagues and fucking go internationally. Give me the Caps versus Perks rivalry. Give me the Reckless versus Sven rivalry. Can Blabber dethrone the First Blood King of old? Fucking nut. I just got to have it.
I'm so excited for Perks in NA. I think he's going to body everyone.
Yeah, and I know Jack leaked that they're probably getting Mithy as a coach for Cloud9.
That's pretty sick.
That's gonna be cool. It's Sven, Mithy, and fucking Perks on the same team.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see like Perks's like announcement video for Cloud9?
Yeah,
where like he's just talking about the roster.
Disrespected them,
and he's just talking about Yeah, he's talking about fucking the roster. He's like, oh yeah, Sven, I fucking love playing as Sven, yada yada yada. Blabber, I think Blabber's like really, really good, yada yada yada. Then he goes to Fudge, don't really know much about him, just hope he doesn't fucking feed.
It's just fun.
Yeah. Then we got last one from Sejuani, and he says, LS to T1, just say fuck you to the assholes who went and attacked him. That's, you want him to coach, funny. Well, now he's the mid laner. No, well, he's not the mid laner, but he is a content creator. So.
Yo, can that be their fucking April Fool's announcement? Is that they're gonna bench Faker in favor of
people
LS?
People lose their skulls, man.
LS's patented Annie mid is going to be fucking tearing up the.
The crazy thing is, like, he doesn't play Annie mid. Like, no, he doesn't play.
He just like, yeah, he plays jungle and I guess like a little bit of support and top. Yeah, mostly jungle though. Anyways, this week's roundtable question is, what champion do you think deserves to be more popular than they currently are? And why? This is submitted by Seth.
Okay, so like, maybe unpopular opinion? Fucking Leona, dude. The fact that she only has a 15% pick rate is wild to me.
Yeah.
She's by far the best support, like, in the game. Like, pick Leona. If you have a chance to pick Leona, pick Leona. Don't pick any other character. Yeah.
What about you, Colton?
Yeah, this is a tough one. I'm trying to decide kind of how I want to approach it. Of like, is there a character that deserves more attention because they are good, or just because they have like a fun kit?
Well, mine's Aurelion Sol. Aurelion Sol is the lowest pick rate in the entire game, and I feel like characters that are very, very unique like him should be way more popular. Like, I understand he's never going to be the most popular character because he's just, like, too hard and too unique. But it's crazy to me that he's the lowest pick rate in the entire game right now.
Is he?
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
Yeah.
Damn. He's just so hard to play. I feel like anytime I play the character, I'm actually doing zero damage.
Yeah.
Playing perfectly, doing zero damage. Makes me feel like an AD carry again.
We'll go with my boy Ziggs. I miss when Ziggs was in the game more.
Do you?
Yeah.
Ziggs is fun, man.
Okay.
He's just a fun character, fucking tossing bombs around. Like, he's a super oppressive control mage who, for some reason, is allowed to two-hit powers. But God, just chucking bombs around is a good time.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I feel like he's very toxic to play against because he can wave clear with one ability. Fair enough.
Cool. If you want to tell us what character you think is deserves to be more popular, then you can hit us up on our Facebook page at LeagueCast, Twitter at LeagueCast, send us an email, mail@leaguecastpodcast.com, or come into our roundtable section and post in our come to our Discord and post in our roundtable section. I just autopilot during that. That's LeagueCastPodcast.com/Discord.
Poggers. Let's get into mail fight. I'm gonna skip this first email just for you guys. We'll just reply to it individually.
I wanted to do it because
Oh, okay. Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, and I was just gonna can read it, but okay, wanted to talk about it. LeagueCast, that's why like, I added it.
Hey, LeagueCast Podcast. My name is Sawyer, active in the Discord as Johnny Bravo, and I've been a longtime fan of the show. I love music and write. And create projects on my own, and thought I'd create a demo intro for you guys. If you guys like to give it a listen, here's a link to it on Google Drive. Love it or leave it. It was super fun to make for you guys. Consider it some fan art for the show. On another note, would you guys be open to me shoutcasting the Aram tournament on my own stream? I have 23 followers, so it would just be for fun. Hope you guys have a great week. Keep doing what you're doing. P.S. You may want to listen with headphones or some bass and some panning, Sawyer.
Yeah. So I wanted to answer, first of all, probably not for your stream, just because we're going to be doing it on probably our stream and probably also the Lawless stream. As for like your theme song, if you're listening to the episode, it is the theme song for this episode. Cause if you write in and make a fucking theme song, then we're probably going to make it the opening for the episode.
It's fucking sick too, by the way. It's
good. Yeah, I know. It's really, really sick. It probably won't be like our one that we do all the time. Cause we'll probably stick to our one that we got like a listener for us to make. But, if someone makes us a fucking intro, we're not going to not use the intro.
Yeah, maybe we'll mix it up on you guys every once in a while. Yeah. But it's super sick.
Thanks,
Sawyer. It could be our, maybe our Patreon show intro.
Ooh, maybe.
Maybe.
Sweet. Thank you, Sawyer.
Thanks.
We appreciate the music. It was fucking dope. Sorry, I just wanted to reiterate.
You guys need to send me the link because it looks like you cut it out of that, and I haven't heard it yet. But anyway, This next email is from Nomeo. Hey, Leadcast. Nomeo here with a quick question about climbing, specifically in the top lane. Just finished my second ranked season by accomplishing my goal of hitting gold. I'd grind super hard to get out of silver too, but I'd be lying if I said I didn't get carried part of the way through silver one. Between some pop-off performances by my duo partners, as well as some unreal blessings from the matchmaking gods when I played solo, I definitely was awarded some free wins. As a top laner, I prefer to play champs that help my team rather than snowbally carries. My question is this: am I hurting my climb by thinking this way in low elo? Should I cave and learn Darius, Renekton, Vayne, etc.? I want to return to gold as fast as possible in Season 11, with a stretch goal of hitting plat by the end of Season. Any advice would be much appreciated. P.S. I tried out full AP Volibear mid with Dark Harvest after the episode where you went through the patch notes. Very fun. Definitely recommend. Thanks, Nomeo. So yeah, first off, congrats on gold. Next, I would say, like, so it's going to happen where, like, sometimes you get inting teammates and sometimes you get teammates that carry you. Knowing how to get carried is a skill.
Absolutely. It's a skill
that a lot of players don't have. And particularly if you're the kind of player who would prefer to play, like, supportive, tanky, maybe engaged top laners, like, that's a skill you need. Because you're not going to be the 11-0 Fiora that 1v9s. But if you can be the Ornn that, you know, at very least went 0-2 and knows how to get carried, like, you can climb with that.
Yeah, I mean, so the likelihood of you playing in the elo that you're supposed to be in and carrying every single game is so astronomically low that it is better for you to perform slightly worse in the games you do carry so you can learn how to be carried, like, in the games where you are falling behind. The amount of times that, like, players in my games were saying, like, okay, the game's done, and just, like, actually gave up and lost us the game were way higher, and we would have won so many more games if they just, like, okay, I'm falling behind, I need to just build, like, more tanky than I am and participate in team fights. Like, I can run in and let, you know, the bot lane that's actually doing well carry.
Yeah, right. Like, you'll have a lot of times, like, a top laner that, like, kind of takes a coin flippy fight at level 1 or level 2 and they lose it. And then what'll happen is, like, they'll teleport back, die again, and either say, like, GG and quit, or they'll just keep fighting after that happens, where they've, like, they're now down 2 levels, 1,000 gold, like, a bunch of experience in their teleport, and they're going to come back top and keep trying to fight. And even if your bot lane is 4-0, like, that top laner can probably easily throw that game. Like, just learn how to be like, fuck, all right, I messed up, like, or I lost a 50-50, you can call it chance if you want, and be like, all right, I'm just going to, like, not interact. I'm going to fucking go tank Fiora, and I'll show up at team fights and be annoying, and I'll absorb a Malzahar ult or something.
No. I have the example. Stop. You're 0-3 on Renekton. Stop building full damage. It's time to start building full tank Renekton and functioning as a body. Stand in front of everyone else and die.
And maybe you get a stun off on an important target.
That's all you got to do. Stun someone. Shred someone's armor with your Empowered E. Stop building full damage if you're losing on Renekton. Thank you, Nomeo. And, I mean, full AP Volibear sounds disgusting. I don't, like, they just, they keep buffing AP characters. Or non-AP characters' AP ratios. Also, boys, I think AP Twitch is better than AD Twitch now. Unironically.
Yeah, it is.
Sweet. Thank you, Nomeo. Next email is from Petal Skull. Hey guys, I've been listening to the podcast for a while, and what with the item rework, I thought I'd write in to ask your thoughts so far. I'll keep it short. I usually main Sejuani jungle, and I had a good time playing her with the new items, based around Frostfire Gauntlet rather than Sunfire, as most people seem to be doing. She's even more annoying to the enemy team than before. I then tried out some other characters, and I have to say, things aren't as much fun when the enemy team can easily put together 3-4 tanks and roll over a, quote, normal comp. It feels like AD carry is totally gutted. Maybe except Vayne, arguably Ashe, except quite a few assassins can't really assassinate while getting obliterated by tanks, except maybe Kha'Zix, and even a lot of bruisers are just straight up outclassed and outdamaged by tanks. Most games are total snowball one way or the other, mostly based on who's managed to pick up the non-banned OP champs. I'm aware that the game has sort of been a tank meta for a long time, but more than ever it feels like I'll be stuck playing maybe two characters this season or risk essentially wasting a spot for my team and get rolled over. I hope Riot makes a good amount of changes before it gets boring. How have you been finding the rework up there in Plat/Diamond Best Petal Skull? I do appreciate that you included Plat so I could actually answer that question. I think tanks are still quite strong. I think other roles are fine in general. I really feel like the only problematic role right now is crit AD carry, because other lethality and I guess that's sort of on hit ish is AD carries are fine, but crit just feels especially bad, I suppose.
Yeah, I would say it's like certain assassins, then crit AD carries are the two weakest roles right now. Mm-hmm. Like, you can play, if you're going to play bottom lane, you pretty well have to play like mages and stuff bottom.
Mages or non crit AD carries. Like, if you can build lethality, like, that's great. Misfortune, Draven, yeah. Jhin, super good. But obviously, or Samira. But Swain has the highest win rate in the bot lane right now, so pick him. I think tank items are a lot more healthy now than they were prior to the hotfix. As for like primarily Frostfire, I like Frostfire a lot, but I find myself just building whichever Sunfire item is better for the damage like mix that the enemy team has. You know, if they're more AD heavy, then I go Frostfire. Whichever one gives more armor. If they're more AP heavy, you know, that sort of thing. Otherwise, like, I think every other class is sort of okay. We could have a super in-depth, you know, talk about Shield Bow and Kraken Slayer, but they're just bad and the numbers need to be higher than they are right now. So that's sort of my thoughts on the new items. I like them a lot though. I really like the changes that they've done. The game is exciting to learn and to figure out. The damage you take is not as exciting at the moment.
The other thing I would just say is I think across the board, excluding crit AD carries, damage has gone up.
Mm-hmm.
and I think particularly like the amount of damage that tank or bruiser items do has also come up quite a bit, and that's why it feels like so much of a tank meta, is because like even if you do go full tank or like, you know, Frostfire or whatever, the Sunfire Aegis or the Frostfire Gauntlet, like
you can just say Sunfire items.
Yeah, like Sunfire items, you do a lot of damage still. I'd like to see them tone the damage down, and maybe look into ways to make tanks tankier, and then also while they do that, you know, have the AD carries be given options to get through tanks. Because like I want that balance to exist where it's like, okay, cool, you can play a mega tank and my bruiser won't be able to bully you too hard, but my AD carry is going to cut through you. But like if you pick a full damage top and then I just pick a bruiser, like I can beat you up. Like I want to see that balance exist. But I don't think it's terrible now. And again, like we said way back early on in the patch notes, it's like it's still pretty early in the preseason, and hopefully a lot of these things will be worked out in the coming months.
You mean what, we're 2 weeks into the preseason? I think.
Like, I think it's a little bit more than that.
Yeah, something like that. Two or three, I'd say.
Not very many. Patches, not very many. We still got 2 months to go, so
yeah,
not a big deal. So thank you, Petal Skull.
Thanks for the email, Petal. Next one we have here is from Dippy, and it is a lightning round of various responses. So it starts off with a roundtable answer. I'm excited to see myself on an LCS team because my gold clash team went 2-1. FlyQuest, call me. Such a good answer. Depression games. So games to play to help you kind of break out of a depression funk. I actually would say Dark Souls because the game has a rhythm to it that you can really fall into it to help you cope with whatever.
I like that answer.
Yeah. Most useless Naruto characters. It's gotta be Tenten. Her whole skill set is dropping 3,000 pounds of metal on enemies. Someone compiled all of her attacks landing across Naruto and Boruto. It's under 7 minutes. I would love to see if there was like a percentage as well. Like, obviously that'd be so much harder to actually count because she throws a billion fucking projectiles. But it's just like she throws 1,000 daggers at you and literally none of them hit. Because you just like do a spin move and they're all gone.
I mean, the meme is that like she has less screen time than the fucking swing that Naruto sits on when he's a kid and is sad.
Yeah, true.
Which is, it's probably really close because that's actually funny. Like a flashback like in like fucking 300 episodes.
That's fucking
funny. That swing definitely has more screen time than, well, the more time than her successful attacks for sure if it's only 7 minutes.
True.
Next, go ahead and say tank positioning. If you want a tank who can be forgiving about their positioning, play Sion. If there is a straight enough line between you and the fight, you aren't out of position. But you can always do better next time.
I mean, yeah, no, any tank's kind of, you know, position irrelevant, I guess.
Yeah, but, like, I think he's more mentioning of, like, not being at the fight on time. And, to, like, choose between teleporting or just not even coming at all. And, like, Sion's more forgiving in that way where it's, like, all right, maybe if you rotated 10 seconds late, you can just also alt to run real fast and get there in time.
Gotcha.
Lastly, food variety. I can have pizza every day. I'm not a coward. I have 10 free Domino's pizzas available to me as part of their rewards program, though I once
Holy
had
shit.
38 saved up at once. How is that possible? Because, like, I got one and it expired within, like, 2 months. I didn't even get to use it.
This man eats Domino's every day. That's what he said.
I guess so. He's probably is Mr. Domino.
Yeah.
Damn.
What's your favorite pizza at Domino's?
Like what style or like what toppings?
Yeah, just like what? Hey, this is Domino's. What? Hello, you want a pizza?
Yeah, I'll just do like a pan pizza with like sausage and some red peppers, my dude.
Kind of lame. Next caller.
Hey, I usually go for ham and bacon.
That's better. That's pretty good.
Okay, Aiden, what's yours? This is the other Domino's chicken guy. We're on hold on the other line, but how can I help you?
Yeah. Barbecue chicken pizzas are the best, I think.
Ooh, okay.
I can have barbecue chicken pizza fucking every day, dude.
I really like barbecue chicken pizza, but without the onions. The onions.
Yeah. I love just having like the sweetness from like barbecue sauce rather than like pizza sauce. It's so fucking good, dude.
Yeah.
No, dude,
I would agree
with
that.
If I want barbecue chicken, I'm gonna have just barbecue chicken.
True.
Fair enough.
Plus, I live in Texas, so I can get good barbecue.
That's
chicken.
Yeah, that's true. You got good barbecue options.
Yeah.
Sweet. Thank you, Dippy. Next email is from Pards. Listening to the podcast and hearing Aiden complain about it being real windy outside, and it reminded me of when I lived through Super Typhoon Haiyan. I remember when positional matchmaking was a thing. I finished my mid placements at Silver 4. Positional matchmaking doesn't exist anymore, but my desire to play mid and rank does. I ended up making a new account that will be a mid-only account, and I look forward to the climb to Silver. My question is this. If you had 5 accounts for the 5 roles, where do you think your account would be placed? In before Diamond, Coke? Oh, joke about Nick. Thanks, guys. Pards. I mean, where would they be placed? I feel like most of mine would be placed like Gold 1.
I think he means like where would like you finish, like say you play like your game sort of thing.
Okay. That makes more sense.
Yeah,
I feel like jungle and top are my worst roles. So I mean, I'd like to say like Diamond 4 for both roles in the bot lane, probably Plat 1 for mid, and then like probably Plat 1 for top in jungle as well.
What are you, Colton?
Who knows, though?
I mean, I think if I like played on one account at a time, probably Diamond 4 at minimum for all of them, if not D3 for most. I think mid and jungle are probably like, I think if I were to rank my like best roles, probably like mid and jungle, like support, and then like AD carry and top kind of together.
Mm-hmm.
But like I do play everything pretty much, and I feel like I play them all pretty well. So if it was like play 150 games on one role and then move to the next account, like I think I'd be diamond in all of them.
Yeah.
And then maybe mid and jungle would be like D3 or D2 or something.
Mm-hmm. For myself, I'd put myself support D2, top lane D4, maybe D3. Jungle probably like plat 2. Mid probably plat 1. AD carry probably like plat 4, plat 3.
Fair enough.
I think it's like something like that.
Sweet. Thank you, Pards, and good luck climbing mid. It's a way more fun role than other roles, I think.
Other roles that won't be named. Hello,
including
again.
Each of the other four roles.
Yeah. Next one's from Drive Forward, aka Aaron. Says, hello again, LeagueCast. Hope you're doing well and are safe. My question this week stems from a topic you discussed on last week's podcast. Here's the question. As a new-ish player, started in August, should I adapt builds to from more experienced players, or should I go with builds that seem to work for me? I really like using my builds, but my only fear is that they will become terrible when/if I climb. I bring this question up due to your Seraphine spotlight last week. I've played a lot of her since release, and she's now my highest mastery champion, so I guess that makes me her my main. Anyway, your suggested builds are completely different from what I do, and although I have success in my elo, I'm afraid it won't hold up when I climb. First of all, playstyle, you seem to have been trying to fit her more into an enchanter playstyle, whereas I like to play her as an aggressive poke champion, less Soraka, more Bard. Or Brand. Next up, runes. I'll normally build either Glacial Augment or Electrocute. Glacial plus Everfrost guarantees me either a root or stun with my E, which allows me to echo my Q or W. Electrocute helps out a lot with damage, and I'll run Imperial Mandate to further output more damage. I normally max Q into E into W. The heal on W is terrible and usually not worth echoing in teamfights. I use it more as an engage tool. Q is the lowest cooldown of all the abilities, and at max rank is spammable to get a bunch of passive procs. Granted, I've never tried her with Moonstone Manure, but her kit doesn't appear, to me anyway, to have enough healing or shielding to use it reliably. That's why I like to build her aggro. If you could, please either dissect or affirm my reasoning, and of course, I'm terribly sorry for the length of this email. So I mean, if a build is working for you, I would say stick to it until it doesn't anymore. I would say in this case where you mentioned not having ever even tried Imperial Mandate, definitely like give things a try if you're not building the standard. Like, right, if I go and I see the standard Orianna build is, you know, these three items, and I say I think these three are better, I should at least have a couple games with the default to know what I'm comparing against. But I'm definitely all for build innovation and doing what you think works or is good and kind of just letting it be based off the results. Like, at least very recently, my wonky-ass Shyvana build was very successful and nobody else was really playing Shyvana that way.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the thing is, specific, I mean, I agree with Aiden, or with Colton, play whatever's working for you, and if you're enjoying, you know, full damage Seraphine, like, definitely go for it. It's just one of those things where we think her utility is great and her damage is less so. So put her in the role where her utility can shine because she only needs to hit level 6, and you can put a higher damaging mid laner in the mid lane. So that way you still have her utility, but you also have more damage as a team overall. And obviously that's not like the end all to this character. She obviously isn't intended to be a mid laner from their like design of her. And maybe we even do see her pushed into the mid lane as time goes on. That's just how we thought she might work best currently. So.
Also, none of us have played much Seraphine, so.
I mean, not a bunch. I feel like I've played enough of her to sort of give a good opinion.
Yeah. No, I'm not trying to discount it. It's just, but like, I would say you probably have less than 30 games.
Oh, absolutely. This person has played more than all of us combined, for sure. It's just so when I've played a lot against a Seraphine and with Seraphine, and I never feel like I'm dying to Seraphine's damage. I'm dying to the root or to the ulti. So if those are the only important abilities that she has to hit, like, put her in a role where she doesn't need gold. She just needs to get level 6, and then she's functionally at her peak for the entire game. But then you also have the benefit of a higher damaging mid lane or mid lane. So that's my thought process on it, at least. So thank you, Aaron. And hey, if it's working for you, like, stick with it. Go for it, bud. She's still hard to play against for newer players, so definitely go for it. I cannot dodge her fucking E for the life of me. Sweet. Next email is from Ian. Hey, Lakecast crew, writing this while listening to this week's episode, so last week's, when the email asked for chill game recommendations was read and the 3-0 all tanks normal team comps was mentioned. Just wanted to chime in on both. Chill game. I'd like to recommend A Short Hike. It's been on PC for a while now, but recently came to Switch. It's super relaxing and full of good vibes and is $8. On top of that, it's a game that doesn't demand a big time investment to get a return from it, which I personally find really important when trying to find a game that I can relax with. Normal's team comp with a similarly low sample size to the 3-0 all tanks comp mentioned in the episode, I'd like to share my experience with a 2 jungler comp in Normal's with a group of friends. We chose junglers that can dual slash vertical jungle well, and honestly I think just confuse the shit out of the other team in the early game, which usually gives us the advantage to tilt the other team's one jungler out of commission. It's an absolute clusterfuck, and I don't recommend it beyond a fun time with friends. Communication is key, but we did break an enemy Rengar so hard that he followed us through his jungle as we cleared it, just following us and watching us clear. For the remainder of the game, 10 minutes or so because we dragged it out, we decided to stop killing him and just let him come along with us as an ugly Yuumi. It was a very fun time. thanks for all the great content, Ian. I have not heard of A Short Hike, but hey, if it's Walking Simulator but good, go for it.
Climber is also jumping in and saying he recommends it as well.
Okay, good.
This double jungle, and particularly the little anecdote about the Rengar, I forget, like, it was, I feel like it was a pretty popular clip, like, maybe a year or two ago, of, like, some Korean player being like, you're my pet now, because they were stomping the enemy jungler, and then, like, they just started following them everywhere, not interacting.
That's funny.
It's just so funny, yeah.
Jeez. Yeah, that sounds good to me.
Okay, next one we have is from Noah. Hey guys, good discussion here. Can you order these in least hindering to most hindering? So his listing of options are playing with locked camera all game, playing with normal cast, having to go flash cleanse every game, your skill shots have a 7% chance to critically fail. I'm imagining that just means 7% of the time when you hit, you actually miss. Your main is in a perpetual state of 47.5% win rate in all elos, being 100 LP worse at the game. For reasons of clarity, let's assume you're playing Lux mid or support every game. Thanks, I love your podcast. Okay, I think that last line we're gonna just cut out. So,
no, like, I think it's important. I think it's very important to like make to it for discussion, because I think it's like you can't do some of them like without that, because then you could say like I'm only gonna play Garen. And have lock camera is the easiest one in the world. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Okay, so we're assuming if playing Lux.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, first off, I feel like as Lux, it's got to be your skill shots have a 7% chance to critically fail, or being 100 LP worst at the game. Like, those are just the two biggest ones.
I think it's lock camera.
You think it's lock camera, really?
How do you hit alts? I guess you could just hit like, I guess you could just melee range alts for like hit combos and alts all the time.
Yeah. So you wouldn't have a lot of like global outside of lane pressure, but you like it wouldn't affect your.
You're right.
Your in lane combo potential.
No, that's fair. That's I get that. Yeah, I'm down.
You'd never get a long range like blue buff or dragon steel, but like for your standard combo of land a Q and then ER, you're fine.
Do you guys want to start for what's the easy, like the best to have, I guess, like the least hindering? Because I think that's easy.
Playing normal cast on Lux.
I think it's between normal cast and what was the other one? Normal cast and flash cleanse.
Yeah, those are the two that I would go with as well. She's not. Probably you don't need to go quick cast on her. Yeah, And Flash Cleanse is most of the time going to be useful every game at some point.
Yeah, like okay, having Flash every like game, least two you're most. Going to be there okay. anyway. And Cleanse is, again, not ideal in most games, but it is passable in every game pretty much.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. there's probably one or two things better, but if you took, like, any character, any game, any situation, and took away one of their summoner spells that wasn't Smite and gave them Cleanse, they probably do okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Lock Camera, yeah, I'll put that at 3, Aiden. I'm yeah. with you. And then Perpetual, 47.5% win rate in all ELOs.
So, I'm so confused what that means. I feel like that one, like, it's so hard, because does that just mean you just lose more games? Because if so, that's awful. Like...
Yeah, or is it saying like they're in a state of strength?
Yeah, I think that's where the character is being like their strength is being locked at a 47.5% win rate at every elo.
Isn't that worse than all the other ones? Because unless you think that being 100 LP worse at the game means that you have a below 47% win ratio.
So that's fair, yeah. I don't think this person is saying that you playing Lux have a 47.5% win rate. I think that means. Every player playing Lux in every single Elo has a 47.5% win rate. That is the character's strength is a almost 48% win rate character.
Yeah, that's probably
which is like
right?
pretty close to balance. I feel like that's fine.
Yeah, it's pretty close. And like in general, I think right like your personal performance can be vastly different from that character's win rate. And that depends on a lot of things, and particularly like the character where Lux is pretty simple. So her being at 47.5 means she's probably not in a great spot numbers wise, but like still 47.5 is not terrible.
She has a 50% win rate right now. So I think it's fine. I'm going to say being 100% LP worse at the game should be above skill. I think skill shots is the worst. On a character who's entirely skill shots, if you miss one of them, the chance of you getting a kill is astronomically lower. Like, you need all of her damage.
I think it's dependent on ELO for these two, personally. I think typically, yes, being 100 LP worse in the game is going to be true. But I think, like, say, like, I don't know, so let's just say you're, like, 0 points master versus, like, 0 points D1 or, like, 50 points D1 versus 50 points D2. I think that's probably... Maybe it's not worse. You're probably right. Even like that, I think it's closer the higher. It's closer the higher up you go between them being worse. But like,
I mean, it absolutely is. Where 100 LP is like actually an entirely different league.
Yeah, like compared to like gold 3 and gold 2, right?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Is like the average player being 100 LP worse is not that much different. Like that's one day of playing ranked. You know,
also think that the chance to fail, like that RNG element. Just completely ruins your ability to actually like play the game consistently. Like there's a reason that dodge got removed and like they've worked to try and like make crit feel better, because it's just like if you throw the Q that you know is gonna hit and then you throw the ER and then your Q just cancels itself, like it's over.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, you're trying to Q somebody that's running at you and it's a 7% chance to not snare them.
What's the amount of LP difference like that you'd have to be worse to make it worse than 7% chance to fail? Is it 1,000 or 1,000 is too much, right? 1,000 is definitely worse.
Too much, because that's two and a half entire leagues, right?
Yeah. So is 500 like plat versus gold?
I think 400.
400, yeah. Like a full like a division.
Yeah, a full tier.
For average, right? Because like you guys were saying, 100 LP from bronze 3 to bronze 2 is not much of a skill difference, whereas, you know, 100 LP from D2 to D1 is a pretty significant skill difference. But if you kind of average out, I think, we're probably around, like, the 300-400 range.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Something like that, yeah.
It's interesting.
Sweet. Thanks for the question. No, that was a good question. Last question is from Rindosu. Hi, LeeCast. Super quick question for you guys. If you went on a date with any League champion, assume that they don't want to kill you if they like killing, who would it be? What would you wear? And lastly, where would you go? Lots of love, Rindosu. I would take Tarik out on a date and take him to a nice little gem cave.
I would take Tarik out on a date. Hell yeah. Tarik would be a good lover, though.
He would be.
Oh, for sure. Very, very compassionate.
Gentle, but powerful. You know?
I'm also going to say Tarik. I agree, Nick.
I'm going to definitely take Braum out on a date, because not only would it be a great time, but he'd give me some really good exercise tips so that I can get in better shape.
It feels like you'd be just like hanging out with your dad if you took Vrom out, you know?
No, we have a great time.
Just give you some dad advice.
Like we'd be like walking down the street and there'd be a puddle, and instead of like laying his shield down so I could walk over it, he would just like one arm grab me by the waist and lift me up over it.
Fill the puddle with one of his pecs.
Yeah. And then I would just stare into his eyes and see his big bushy mustache. And
hey, that'll do it for this episode of LeagueCast. Thank you guys for listening. Check us out on Twitter at LeagueCast and at LeagueCastFrost. On Facebook, we are LeagueCast. Mail at LeagueCastPodcast.com is where you can send in emails. Twitch.tv/BlueBasket and /KingLardOut are where we stream. Our website is LeagueCastPodcast.com. You can get to the Discord on the widget on that homepage or LeagueCastPodcast.com/Discord. Finally, support us on Patreon, patreon.com/LeagueCast. Thank you guys for listening. Happy Halloween to everyone out there.
Halloween?
We'll see you next week. Before the show, I was like, fuck, I'm going to say happy Halloween at the very beginning of the show because I feel like happy should always precede Halloween. Happy Thanksgiving to anyone who's celebrating Thanksgiving. And you know what? Fuck it. Happy Halloween, everybody. Bye.
Happy Halloween.
Bye.